Hey, Hak Sameach and Shabbat Shalom. I guess everybody can tell what day it is today. The Feast of Trumpets, where we blow the trumpet or the shofar, in Hebrew called Yom Teruah, the day of clamoring, noise. Here we are, Yom Teruah 226. It's been a really fast year. I think most people I find it amazing. Older people, as you get older, you always think time is going fast. But I'm amazed when I talk to younger people, some of them even in their teens, that are saying how fast time is going. So it's really got to tell you something. But I do believe this year that we really have turned a corner. And the four holy days are really a corner in themselves, because when you think about it, you know, when we keep Pesach and we keep Shavuot, even though all these days are being fulfilled even in the end time, there's a second Pesach coming, there's a second Shavuot that we're living in now, the outpouring of Yahweh's Spirit. The four holy days really are future looking, because the return of Yeshua, of course, it represents his birth also. He was also born on Yom Teruah. But really, the big thing is Yom Teruah is about Yeshua's return to the earth and bringing his kingdom. And then, of course, Yom Kippur, where at the point where all sin is ended and Yahweh is at one, not only with his people, but with the world, the Day of Atonement or the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And then, of course, we have Sukkot, which represents the millennial kingdom. And then the last great day, the eighth day, the day right after Sukkot, which is another high holy day, and that represents the white throne judgment and the judgment of all humanity at that point. So the four holy days, when they come, it's always a new point year. Now it's kind of like you're looking forward to a couple months for the feast coming, and boom, now it's here. You know, we have 2 weeks until Sukkot, 10 days till Yom Kippur, but it goes really fast, and it's the preparing day, you know. The days now, starting today, going all the way until Yom Kippur, are the days of awe. They're the 10 days of repentance. It's really interesting, because in Revelation to the Smyrna congregation, remember it says, you know, that they're going to suffer for 10 days. And here we are, you know, these are really, really important days. And I hope as the people of Yahweh, I know some are, I know some haven't been, but I really hope that this message can encourage you to really take it serious, especially now. Yahweh has given such an open door to our congregation. I've been writing about that. I just can't believe over the last few years, I really thought with COVID, you know, that our work was primarily done, you know, going underground. But our congregation has grown more since COVID than almost any other time that, you know, we've been doing this work in the last 30 years. So, I do believe, though, that open door is not going to be open too much longer. You know, my guess is as good as anybody's. You know, I'm looking at a year right now of taking this year anyway and really dedicating the whole year to Yahweh, the work, the Matthew 24 project, and then see what happens. You know, I know a lot of things are going to be changing really, really fast. So we need to be thinking about that, praying about that, preparing for that. So here we are, Yom Teruah 226, you know, and this is the days of the watchman, you know, because Yom Teruah, it really is the feast of the watchman, as we're going to get into here. So it is an exciting day, right? It's the beginning of the four holy days. And like I said, it's the day that Yeshua was born in 3 BC. Went over that a little bit in the Bible study last night. I've done message on that. I'm not going to really talk about that today. But it's also the day that he will return. And it's such a day of hope, right? Because when you look at the world today and the chaos, to think of Yeshua being on this earth, and not just that he's running the world government from Jerusalem, but that the spirit of man will be changed. All the things you're seeing today with spirits of evilness and selfishness and war and hate and lying and lust and all the things, greed, will all be gone, you know? And people will not even think about war anymore. Praise Yahweh for that. So it's such a day of hope, but it's also a day of somberness, because we know for the some odd 8 billion people on this planet, most of them aren't looking for that. And we know that by the time Yeshua returns, only maybe 2-3% of the people living on this planet today are going to be alive. So even though that's going to be something like 30, 40, 50 million people worldwide, which is still a lot of people, compared to 8 billion and who knows how many, you know, as time is going on, it's not really so many. But Yeshua is going to destroy his enemies at his return. And before that, like I said, with the plagues and the day of Yahweh that comes, you know, many people are not going to be alive at that time. So we, as the people of Yahweh, we need to bring this message of warning. That's really what our job is. That's why you're alive today. That's why you're called, not just to reap the benefits of knowing the truth, but to be part of this end time work. So, like I said, Yeshua is going to destroy his enemies at his return. Let's go to Zechariah 14. I'm just going to go in one scripture of that now. Zechariah 14. And I'm going to read 1 through 9 and then verse 12. It says, "Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, and your spoil shall be divided among you. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem." Not hard to see that today with the way the whole world is going against Israel. "And the city shall be captured, and the houses plundered, and the women raped. And half the city will go into exile, and the rest of the people will be cut off from the city." It's almost like we saw what happened in 223 on the last great day, Simchat Torah, when it was the last great day and, you know, Israel was attacked and so many people were killed and some of these things happened, although it wasn't in Jerusalem. "And Yahweh will go out and fight against those nations like the day he fought in the day of battle. And his feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east." So we know it's not Yahweh the Father who's coming, it's Yeshua, Yahweh the Son, as we'll see this in a minute. "And the Mount of Olives will divide from its middle, from the east to the west, a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half toward the south. And you will flee to the valley of my mountains, for the valley of my mountains will reach to Azel. And you will flee as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yahweh my Elohim shall come and all the saints with you," right? So we know that when Yeshua returns, you know, his cherubs will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth, and those that are in the grave sleeping are going to be resurrected. So this is all we see, the saints coming with him. "And it will be in that day shall not be light, the glorious ones will shrink. And it will be one day which will be known to Yahweh, not day nor night, but there will be light at evening time," right? Yeshua's presence, the light of the world, will make it where there'll be no more darkness anymore. "And it will be in that day living waters will go out from Jerusalem," where the Gihon Spring, the only living waters that's there, right? "Half of them shall go toward the eastern sea and half toward the western sea in summer and in winter." So we know that, right? So which proves the temple, Ezekiel 47, right? Shows that the water's coming from underneath the temple. So we know where the temple was. "And Yahweh will be king over all the earth." Yahweh, Yeshua, of course, Yahweh the Father is reigning over even Yeshua. Yeshua clearly says that there is no competition between them, but until the 1,000 years are up and that the earth is completely, you know, redone back to the Garden of Eden, restored like the Garden of Eden, Yahweh the Father does not come to the earth till after the 1,000 years are up. "So Yahweh shall be king over all the earth, in that day Yahweh shall be Ikad," right, the Father and the Son, which they are. "And his name, Yahweh, is Ikad," showing there's two of them. And then verse 12, right? What happens to his enemies? "And this shall be the plague with which Yahweh will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall rot while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will rest in their sockets," right? "And their tongues shall rot in their mouths. And it shall be in that day a great panic," right? Yom Teruah, the day of clamorings, you know. "There will be a great panic of Yahweh shall be among them." So we see this, that at Yeshua's return, his brightness, his power, his glory, literally these enemies of him are literally just going to, eyeballs melt in their sockets, their tongues are going to melt in their mouth, and it will be the end of them and Yeshua, the first day of the kingdom of Yahweh that will be restored. One more scripture just to show, because sometimes if people say, well, how do you know this is Yeshua? Where does it say that he returns to the Mount of Olives? Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. And this is when Yeshua ascended after the 40 days, right? Then indeed, coming together, they questioned him, saying, Master, do you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he said to them, it is not yours to know the times of the season which the Father has placed in his own authority, right? So like I said, we don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the week and the month and the year and the season. But when the Spirit of holiness comes upon you, you will receive the power and you will be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that's why we're here. Like I said, we're here to be the watchmen, to be the witnesses of Yeshua, not just to reap the benefits of being a believer. And saying these things as they looked on, he was taken up in a cloud and he was hidden from their sight. And as they were intently looking into the heaven, he having gone, even behold, two men in white clothing stood by them, cherubs, who said to them, Men Galileans, why do you stand looking up to the heaven? This Yeshua who was taken up from you to heaven, likewise he will come just as you have seen him who ascended into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount being called of Olive Grove, which is near Jerusalem, a distance of 7 furlongs away, right? So he was buried on the Mount of Olives. He was resurrected on the Mount of Olives. He ascended on the Mount of Olives. And he's coming back on the Mount of Olives. So very, very clearly, Zechariah 14 is clearly talking about Yeshua's return. No doubt about that. That's Yahweh's pattern. And like I said, one of the biggest things in my life that taught me not only reading prophecy, but reading Yahweh's word is finding Yahweh's pattern. He never changes. And that's the problem. When you look at most of Christianity today, they think in the first covenant was one thing, and then the new covenant is something totally different. Like Yahweh says in the first covenant, don't lie, don't steal. And somehow in the new covenant, no, now you can lie and you can steal. No, when Yahweh has a pattern and the Ten Commandments are his character, not just his pattern, but his character, they're never going to change. So when we understand that this is Yahweh's pattern, this is the way it is. 1 Thessalonians 4 also shows that Yeshua's return, verse 15 through 18. He says, For we say this to you in the word of Elohim, that we, the living, who remain to the coming of our Master, will not at all go before those who have fallen asleep. Right? The dead that are in the grave, the living aren't going to go first. Because the Master himself shall come down from heaven with a commanding shout of an archangel's voice and with the trumpet of Yahweh, right? The last trumpet, the seventh trumpet. And the dead in Messiah will rise again first. Then we who remain alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our Master in the air, and so we will always be with our Master. So comfort each other with these words. So here we are, Yom Teruah 2026. It's a day of comforting, right? To hear these things in these words. Yeshua is coming at the seventh, the last trumpet call. Matthew 24. I went into all these scriptures in the Bible study last night, so I'm not going to go into all the scriptures of Yeshua's return, because really today I want to talk about the day of the watchman and what our job is as watchmen. But I do want to go into some, because this is the day of Yom Teruah and the day of Yeshua will return. Just to think, like I said, year is going into year. And wow, for me, I'm 40 years a baptized member in Yeshua's congregation. How fast those days go. But just, you know, like I said, year 1 to year 5 to year 10 to year 20, year 30, year 40 now, who knows, 45, 50, as the years keep going on. But one day, you know, we're going to wake up, and whether I'm sleeping in the ground or I'm still alive, it won't matter, because what we just read there, and it will be the Yom Teruah that Yeshua is coming. And it's very soon. It's not 1,000 years away, you know. It's not 100 years away. It's not 50 years away. It is very, very soon that this is going to happen. And wow, that's why it's exciting every year that goes by, because we're getting one step closer, and Yahweh is giving us more, his spirit is giving us more understanding of it as we go on. So starting in verse 29 of Matthew 24, he says, immediately after the suffering of those days, right after everything happens, the tribulation time period and the day of Yahweh, it says, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light. We're already seeing some of those signs now, but this is also going to happen later, the eclipses and the blood moons. And the stars will fall from the heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the land will wail. and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and much glory. So we saw the Revelation 12 sign in 2017. Will that sign happen again here? Possibly it's that sign or something, but the sign of the Son of Man we're going to see could be that sign. And he will send his cherubs with a great sound of a large trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other, right? The last trumpet. But learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and it puts out leaves, you know that summer is here near. So also you, when you see all these things, know it is near at the door, right? So I've given hundreds of messages on this. Our whole ministry in Israel has been on this. Israel being the fig tree, and starting in 1945 was when the end time started, but 1948 was when this prophecy started. So we're very close. 78 years Israel's been a nation. And in 2028, which is another very interesting year coming up, it'll be 80 years, 2 times 40, you know, that Israel has been a nation at that point. And he says, know that it's near when you see these things. Truly I say to you, in no way will this generation pass away until all these things have occurred. And we're coming toward the end of the generation, right? So that's why we say we know that there's not 100 or 1,000 or even 50 years left because of the word of Yahweh. Truly I say to you, in no way will this generation pass away until all these things have occurred. The heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, never. But as to that day and hour, no one knows, neither the cherubs or the Father of heaven, except my Father only, right? The day and the hour, he says, not the month and the year. But as the days of Noah, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah went into the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. At that time, two will be in the field, the one is taken, the one is left. Two grinding at the mill, one taking, one is left, right? What's happening? That the ones that are rebellious, the cherubs are taking them out of the kingdom to the lake of fire. He says, be alert then, for you do not know in what hour your master comes. And are you being alert? You know, are it talks about the virgins. One of the scariest scriptures of Matthew 25 in the 10 virgins is the point where it says they all slept. So even though we know five wake up and make it, there was a time when all 10 were sleeping. So he's saying, be alert, but know this, that if the housemaster had known and would watch the thief comes, he would have watched and not be allowed his house to be dug through. Because of this, you also be ready, for in the hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. And some people tell me, oh, well, you know, this hasn't happened yet, and that hasn't happened yet, so there's got to be at least 10 years or 20 years or whatever. And it's like, don't think that way. Don't think what you think. You have no idea. You have no idea how Yahweh thinks, okay? So at the time you least expect it, so that time that you're thinking, oh, there's got to be 10 or 20 years, could very well be the time that Yeshua's coming. And we are seeing a lot of things to show it's not 20 years. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom my master has set over his household to give to them the food in season? Blessed is that servant whom his master shall find doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all he owns. So it's not just sitting here waiting for Yeshua to return year after year. It's about doing something, right? It's about doing our calling. But if that wicked slave says in his heart, my master delays to come, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the ones drinking, the master of that slave will come in a day which he does not expect it, in an hour which he does not know. And I saw this in Church of God. I saw it that when things didn't happen the way people thought it would happen, right? They misinterpreted the Bible. Then all of a sudden, some of them even left the truth completely. But they went back to the world, right, and back to the things. And he says, and he will cut him in two and will appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is why this is a wake-up call. This is Yom Teruah. This is why the trumpet is blowing, right, to get in our ears and wake us up. Because it's time to wake up, because there is a short work that's still there, but a great work that's still there. And every single person in Yeshua's congregation needs to be part of it. You know, there are no spectator believers. We are all part of it, and we have to. So Yom Teruah, the Feast of Clamoring Noise, to the ones faithfully doing the work of Yahweh, they will be shouting, praising, singing. But to those not ready and not watching and loving the world, he will come at a time when you least expect it, and they'll be wailing, screaming, and crying. And the way, one way that I know people that aren't doing this is, especially sometimes even our young people, you know, when they talk about going to school, you know, for 4 years, 8 years, 10 years to get this degree, get that degree, it's like, man, what are you thinking? What on earth are you thinking that you'll put 10 years into Satan's system that's crumbling while we probably don't even have 10 years left till Yeshua returns? And it's just showing those are people that are definitely sleeping and they're not watching. You want to put 4 years, 8 years, 10 years into something, put it into the kingdom of Yahweh. Put it into that. Put it into, you know, ministry and doing that, not into Satan's worldly system. So, you don't want to be there that day. You don't want to be there screaming and yelling. You want to be there happy. Matthew 7, verse 16. Matthew 7, in verse 16. It says, from their fruits you will know them, right? So you're not kidding Yahweh. You know, you could kid your family. You could kid your friends. Sometimes you can even kid yourself, but you're not kidding Yahweh. Do they gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles, right? So every good tree produces good fruits, but the corrupt tree produces evil fruits. A good tree cannot produce evil fruits, nor can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Every tree not producing good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. This is what's going to happen when Yeshua returns. Then surely from their fruits you will know them. It will not be that just everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven, right? So there's a lot of people going to be saying, Master, Master, when he returns. But a lot of them will not be in this kingdom. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, in your name do works of power? Wow, this is heavy stuff. And then I will declare to them, from everlasting I never knew you. Depart from me, you working lawlessness. So unless you're living a righteous life, unless you're obeying Yahweh's commandments, you know, and living them, it's not going to matter. Then everyone who hears these words from me and does them, I will compare him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down and the floods came up and the winds blew and fell against the house, but it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and who does not do them, he will be compared to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came down and the floods came up and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was the collapse of it. And I remember as a kid when we used to go to the beach and you'd build those big sandcastles, and sometimes you'd take hours and hours to build it, and then one wave comes and whoops and knocks the whole thing out. So it really hits home. So he will either accept or deny us from the life we're living. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Starting in verse 10. It says, and coming near, the disciples said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Talking about the people. And answering, he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, right? Yahweh has given us in the end time the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, the tabernacle of David. There are so many mysteries that are in the Bible that Yahweh has given to us as his congregation. And are we appreciating it? And are we using it to go out and bear fruit? So it is been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to those. For whoever has, to him will be given, and he will have overabundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken. The parable of the talents, right? If you're not using your gifts, they are going to be taken away. If you're using them, you're going to get more. Because of this, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled on them, which says, in hearing you will hear and in no way understand, and seeing you will see and no way perceive. For hardened is the heart of this people. And with their ears they were hard of hearing, and with their eyes they were blinded, that they should not see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand in their heart and return, and I heal them. Very sad. But your eyes are blessed because they see, and your ears because they hear. And I told you this since COVID, every single day when I pray to Yahweh, thank you, Yahweh, for giving me eyes to see and ears to hear. But that also means there's an accountability to do something, not just to let the days go by, you know, fly by. If time is going really fast, then it's time we need to start redeeming that time and using it better. The world is hardened and blinded by Satan's system, but we are not. But that also brings accountability. So Ezekiel 33, you know, because sometimes we look at Yahweh's ministers, right, as watchmen, but we're all watchmen. You know, maybe there is judicial order. Not everybody's meant to go out and be a world evangelist. Not everybody's meant to go out and preach a sermon. But we all are meant to go out and be watchmen. We all are meant to go out and help in this work of bringing more children to salvation, especially now as we're getting toward the end of the end. This is life and death for some of these people. These are souls that Yahweh created, that His Spirit is living in them as much as His Spirit of life. You know, not His Holy Spirit, but His Spirit of life is living in these human beings that aren't converted as much as it's living in us. And it's Yahweh's will that none will perish, but we have free will. So Yahweh doesn't want these people to perish, and that's why we have to give this warning. Now, will most people take it? No, of course not. But even if 1 out of 100 takes it, that's one more Elohim child than there would have been before that. And if you don't give the warning, it could actually mean your eternal life is going to be taken away. So let's read this here. Ezekiel 33, starting in verse 1. And the word of Yahweh was to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the sons of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword on it, on a land, and take one man from the people of the land, their borders, and set him for a watchman to them. And when he sees the sword coming on the land and blows the ram's horn and warns the people, and the hearer hearing the sound of the ram's horn, and does not take the warning, and the sword comes and takes him, his blood will be on his own head. He heard the sound of the ram's horn and took no warning. His blood shall be on himself. But he who took warning, he shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the ram's horn, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes his soul from them, he is taken in his iniquity, but I will require his blood from the watchman's hand. And you, son of man, I gave you as a watchman to the house of Israel, and you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked one, surely you shall die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked one from his way, that wicked one will die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood from your hand. But you, if you warn the wicked from his way to turn from it, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, this you have spoken, saying, surely your transgressions and our sins are on us, and we are rotting in them. Even then shall we live? Say to them, as I live, declares Adonai Yahweh, I do not have delight in the death of the wicked, except in the wicked turning from his way, and so to live. Turn from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Like I said, we really have turned a corner now. And part of that turning is that some of these people, even bad people, are going to turn to the truth, even though most of them won't, some will. And that's what Yahweh is saying, turn. And for us, you know, maybe you've been thinking about this for years, of changing, of doing, of something, and you haven't. Turn. All of us, it's time to turn. It's time to turn because the days of the watchmen are here, and that's the ministry in the end time. You know, the ministry in the end time is warning the people, and we are all part of that. We must warn the world the last message before Yeshua returns, and that's one of the reasons why I do the, you know, the world news updates and share what's going on in the world, because it's not always good news, but you have to. You have to show the people that prophecy is being fulfilled and the times that we're living in. And wow, this last war this year with America and Iran, you know, is fulfilling Daniel the 8th chapter, even the name, Epic Fury. And it says he will come at him with full fury. Even the word there is the same. So if you can't see the prophecy being fulfilled, then you need to wake up. Or maybe you're one of those people that don't have eyes to see, and then it's really sad, because that means the little you have is being taken away from you. So use this day, like I said, use this Yom Teruah, this new time. It's like I said, at the beginning of Yahweh's year, we know, is in Aviv. That's the, you know, the new year. But this is the agricultural year, and the prophetic year really turns at Yom Teruah. So we want to make a new commitment as we go on here. Ezekiel 3. Let's go back to Ezekiel, the third chapter. And starting in verse 4. He says, and he said to me, son of man, come to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to the people of deep-lipped and difficult of language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people deep-lipped and of a difficult language, but whose words you cannot hear. If I have sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen, for they are not willing to listen to me. And all the house of Israel, strong of forehead and hard of heart. And that's the world we're living in today. Behold, I have made your face strong over against their faces, and your forehead strong over against their foreheads. And I have made your forehead as an adamant harder than flint. Do not fear them. Do not be frightened by their faces, though they are a house of rebellion. And he said to me, Son of man, all my words which I speak to you, receive into your heart and hear with your ears. And go, come to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them and say to them, so says Adonai Yahweh, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a sound of great turmoil, saying, Blessed be the glory of Yahweh from his place. And there was the sound of the wings of the living creatures touching each one to the other, and the sounds of the wheels going with them, and the sound of great turmoil. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me, and I went bitterly in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of Yahweh was strong upon me. So there's this great turmoil, right? Like the day of Yom Tur, the day of clamoring. Go to verse 16. And it happened at the end of 7 days, even it happened that the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel, and hear the words of my mouth, and warn them from me. In the saying to the wicked, surely you will die, and you do not warn him, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. He, the wicked, shall die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at your hand. And you, because you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his way, he, the wicked, shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And when the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Since you have not warned him, he will die in his sin. His righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But I will require his blood at your hand. But you, because you warned him, the righteous, so that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, surely he shall live because he is warned, and you have delivered your soul. So just like we read here in Ezekiel 33, and several times, it's a great responsibility we have. And like I said, you can't think, oh, that's for the elder, that's for this, that's for that. All of us are part of it. We don't all have the same job, you know, but all of us are part of the restoration ministry, and all of us have to take to heart the great responsibility giving this last warning messages. And that's why Yahweh gave us the truth, like I said, not to just put it in a corner for herself, but to use it for others. Revelation 3 and verse 15, because we know we're living in the Laodicean era, right? And most Laodiceans, like he says, they got a hard head, they're not going to follow. But let's go to verse 15 of Revelation 3. And what does he say to the Laodicean? He says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold nor hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and I am made rich, right? That's the world we're living in today. People want to do everything for themselves. They want to set up their own kingdoms. They want to, as long as they have money, they think that they're going to survive. And I have need of nothing. And do you not know you are miserable and a wanderer and poor and blind and naked, right? So that's their spiritual state. And look what he advises them. Look what he advises them from this point. He says, I advise you to buy from me gold having been fired by fire. So not the gold out there, you know, that's $4,000 an ounce. He wants you to buy the spiritual gold. The gold of his spirit, right? The baptism of fire that's been fired by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and your shame and nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye slab, that you may see. So the Laodicean doesn't see now, but even some Laodiceans are going to turn. I, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous then and repent. Be zealous and repent. So that's what Yahweh is telling. That's the message we have to give. Not just a message of judgment and coming people and telling them everything they're doing wrong, but in a loving way, share with them what happens if they do change, how their life will be different, you know, how they could be part of the solution in Yahweh's kingdom and all the good things that could happen if they do change. So this is the message of repentance for the end time Laodicean era. From Yom Teruah to Yom Kippur, like we said, they're the 10 days of awe, days of repentance. And all of us, I'm telling you this year, really take these 10 days serious. We must cleanse our hearts and spirit to do the end time work of Yahweh. So we're entering a new phase, and we have to take that new phase serious, because it's not just a spiritual phase. It's not just something in our heart. It's not just, you know, even Yahweh's work growing. It's a new phase in the world. We're seeing the world change, and I'm telling you, in this next year, it's going to change in ways that many people are not ready for or looking for. Malachi 4, 1 through 6. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a fire pot, and all the proud and every doer of wickedness shall be chaff. And the coming day will set them ablaze, says Yahweh of hosts, which will not leave them root nor branches to them. This is talking about the day of Yahweh, right? We just read in Zechariah 14 what happens. Their bodies are going to melt. Their tongues are going to melt in their mouth when Yeshua returns. But to you who fear my name, right, to the people of Yahweh, the Son of Righteousness shall rise up, and healing will be on his wings, and you shall go out and frisk like calves of the stall. And you shall tread under the wicked, and they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day which I am preparing, says Yahweh of hosts. And then what is his last message that he gives? Remember the Torah of my servant Moses, which I commanded him in Mount Horeb for all Israel, the statutes and the judgments, right? Some of us have seen Mount Horeb. We've been there. We've been in Elijah's cave up there. So what an amazing miracle that Yahweh, after all these thousands of years, has opened up Mount Sinai for his people to see. Yahweh willing, I'm hoping we're going to go there again next year. But remember the Torah of my servant Moses, which I commanded him in Mount Horeb for all Israel, and the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I'm sending you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he will turn the heart of the fathers to the sons and the heart of the sons to the fathers, that I not come and strike the earth with utter destruction. So our job collectively is just to go out and do this work. You know, it's Yahweh's job when he brings Elijah the prophet there. And the two witnesses, that's up to him. That's his work, and it will happen because Yahweh's word says it. But our work is just collectively to go out and prepare the way. The same way that John the Baptist had to prepare the way for Yeshua, right? Because Yeshua didn't have years and years and years to prepare everything that John did. And it's the same way now. You know, it's the same way now that we need to go and prepare and turn the hearts of the people so that, you know, when this end time ministry happens, that the people, you know, that it'll all be ready for Yahweh's spirit to work the way it is. So, like I said, the open door that Yahweh's given us now, it's not going to last forever. And each of us, we may need to make that commitment in these next 12 months to do the most we can for the kingdom of Yahweh in bringing more people to salvation. Mark 13 in verse 28. Mark 13, verse 28 through 37. It says, and from the fig tree learn the parable, right? We read that in Matthew. Here it is again. When its branch becomes tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know it is near the door. And we're seeing it. We're seeing a lot of things. We're seeing storms like we've never seen, hurricanes, earthquakes, wars and rumors of wars, you know. And now what's coming with this super El Nino and the energy crisis, only Yahweh knows how bad it's going to be in the next 6 months. So he says, truly I say to you, not at all will this generation pass away till all these things have occurred. So like I said, we're 81 years into the end time generation from 1945, and we're 78 years into Israel being a nation again, the fig tree. The heavens and the earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, never. But concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not the angels, those in heaven, nor the Son, except the Father. Now listen what he says, watch. Be alert and pray, for you do not know when is the time. As a man going away, leaving his house and giving his slaves authority, and to each his work, and he commanded the doorkeeper that he be vigilant. And we are those people. That this is what the parable is saying, right? We are the people that he left in charge to watch now and to be vigilant. Then you watch. Are you watching? For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, at evening, at midnight, at cockcrowing or morning, right? So we don't know. So that he may not come suddenly and find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watch. You know, and like I said, anybody that's having all their goals in this world today toward all these physical things, you're not watching. That's not our job. Our job is not to get worldly degrees and just try to make as much money in Satan's system as possible. You know, that's a one-way ticket to the lake of fire if you're going to go that route. Our job is to go out in this world today and be a witness of the truth and to bring that truth and be part of the Matthew 24 program. So I just want to read to you, because he says to watch, just some things. You know, have you been watching? And just very quickly, just for a minute or two, share with you some of the things that are happening. You know, just recently, the war with Iran has been lost basically by the U.S., right? So Donald Trump came out and said, you know, oh, we destroyed them and we destroyed this and we destroyed that. And as he kept lying about it, you know, whether he knew it or not, most of Iran's navy and army and all their military wear is underground. So they seem to have a lot. They've been preparing this for 20 years. And I thought this right off the bat. I said, well, if they gave more than 100,000 missiles to Hezbollah, you don't think that they have at least that much in their stock? You know? So the war with Iran is basically lost by the U.S. And they have taken down their status worldwide. Trump's lying, his continuous threats that he never goes through with, you know, and he really, America's looked at a laughing stock, all these terrorists that are going through, the financial part, but America, Babylon is falling, you know. Babylon's just debt just hit $40 trillion, 40, the number of trial, right? So it just hit 40 trillion just a few weeks ago. And Babylon is really they're changing away from the petrodollar system. They're getting very close to a financial crisis with the debt, because the treasury notes are going to a point where they can't pay the interest on them. You know, they're really close to that. So, are you watching this? Because when Babylon falls, that's where everything is going to go really, really fast. You know, that's the real beginning of the end, and you can almost count down the days from that point as the beast power sets up and things happen. Number two, world oil reserves are almost depleted, right? So this week, the numbers are back up to $100 a barrel. The diesel prices are way higher than that. That's the big one, like I've been saying. And winter isn't coming yet. Or winter, they're going to need much more for the heating around the world. So world energy crisis is pretty much already started. And are you watching this? Because this, it not only affects prophecy, it affects people. You know, like I said, people that are going to be dying, that are not going to be able to have fuel. And going along with that, the world food crisis is in the works. So the Super El Nino, they're saying, is going to be the worst ever. And the one that was either 1860 or 1880, I forget the exact date now, but somewhere around that time, you know, in the mid to late 1800s, back then, where there weren't that many people in the world, there was not even a tenth or a 15th of what you have today. And you want to know something, 50 million people starved to death during that time. 50 million back then. So what does that say of today when we're, you know, at 8.5 billion people on the planet? And they're saying that this one is going to be worse than that one. So are you watching? Are you watching? You know, because these are the horsemen of the apocalypse. The false peace, which we've been seeing since President Trump has been reelected. The war, the red horse. And then the next one is the famine and the pestilence and then the death. So we are already in here watching these horsemen of the apocalypse. We've been watching them for a while, but like I've always said, it's like a dual prophecy. You see them in general in the end time, but then in the very end time, you see them literal. Number four, signs in the heaven. You know, Revelation 12 sign, we talked about this many times, 2017. The great eclipse that happened in Babylon a couple of years ago. The blood moons of 213 to 215 on holy days. Right, five in a row, Yahweh's number of grace. And even this year, just recently, we saw some of these. So they're all a warning to us. And have we been watching? Have we been watching some of these things and these eclipses and these blood moons, like Yahweh says? Number five, AI. Wow. You know, as I've been preparing some things for Sukkot with AI, we really see AI is in that stage. They've brought it out now, these data centers, and they're very, very close to bringing this whole AI system to take over the world. And that's going to be scary because, like I said, I really see now Satan has deceived the whole world that AI is it. He's deceived the world with many things from the Garden of Eden, but this is something where everything is deceived, where you can't tell now. And if people up to now haven't been able to tell truth from error when it's so evident, how are they going to tell it in an AI world? And the sixth thing, the beast system is set up, just waiting for the man-made crisis and the false flag to bring it in. I've told you this a couple of years ago, the whole banking system has been changed, right? So no longer is a private banking system that's going the way it did for, you know, the last whatever, 100 years. But now everything is run through the central banking system, and it's completely different. And that's all set up for the data centers and controlling people's money. You know, where you do something wrong, they just cut your money off. And Israel, you know, the world is against Israel more now than ever. You know, they've never been totally with Israel. We know that the many people in many countries have been against Israel. But now, wow, just like it's prophesied, the whole world is coming against Israel, as scripture states. And there's no country in the world that's more hated than Israel is. So we see these things at the end, and Israel being, Jerusalem being surrounded by armies and all these things. Are, wow, it's really now you could see where it's coming. We see that the Muslim NATO that's just been set up like the last month or so with Saudi Arabia and Pakistan and Turkey and possibly Iran and other countries joining that pack. We see the Psalm 83 war coming together before our eyes, you know. So all these things are happening. And the last thing, just also Yahweh taking his people to the wilderness. So he hasn't literally taken the 144,000 out yet. But again, if you don't change your mentality from commercial Babylon to the wilderness, you'll never last a day in the wilderness. So Yahweh has been taking his people. He's been taking his people in the kibbutzes and having his people move from the cities to the countries, away from commercial Babylon, getting out of that system as much as possible. But like I said, there are some Laodiceans out there that haven't been doing it. They're staying in the system and working in the system and living in cities. And you're going to be in trouble very soon. And I'm not talking about a few years down the line. I'm talking about now. You are going to be in trouble. And it's time to come out of that system, because that's what Yahweh is doing. He's doing with his people. And do we know better than Yahweh? So Yom Teruah 2026, like I said, we've turned a corner. And he tells us, watch, watch, watch. And these are just a few things I'm bringing up. You know, I talk about it every week in the world news, but these are just a few things. Romans 13 and verse 10. Romans 13 and verse 10. He says, love does not work evil to the neighbor, then love is the fulfillment of the Torah. Also knowing this, that now is the time and the hour for you to awake from your sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And wow, is that scripture jumping off the pages. It's in 3D. The night is far gone and the day is drawn near. Then let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light, right? Knowing this, and now is the time and the hour is for you to awake from your sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. 40 years into this stuff, it is nearer, and 80 years into just about, you know, from the beginning of the end time. So you better believe it's nearer. It's the end of Yahweh's work. It's not the beginning, right? So there's still time to make up lost time, right? The parable of the workers in the field. I love that parable because even at the 11th hour, people were still able to come in and they still got their full reward. So if you haven't been doing it to this point, there's still time, but you are on borrowed time because you got to prepare. You just don't jump into the work of Yahweh. You got to prepare for it. You know, and that's why we have the Bible school. I've been doing the Bible school for 22 years. Many of our elders, you know, and especially our senior elders, came because they were trained at the Bible school. Many of our brethren that are solid in the congregation and doing good works, men and women, you know, leaders, have been to the Bible school. So we need to get ready, and we need to be preparing. Ephesians 5 and verse 13. Ephesians 5 and verse 13. He says, but all things being condemned are exposed by the light and are clearly revealed. For everything having been revealed is light. Yeshua is that light, like we said. And at his presence, even people just burning in their sockets. Because of this, he says, arise, sleeping ones, and arise from the dead ones, and Messiah will give you light, right? So we want to be that light from him, that living light. Then watch how carefully you walk, not as unwise, but as wise ones, right? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but understanding what the will of Elohim is. You got to stop being foolish. Be wise. Think about it. The kingdom of Yahweh is forever. The kingdom of commercial Babylon. Not only is it for a short time, that time is just about over. So why would you live for a system that is living on borrowed time, right? And isn't even helping most of the people within that system. You know, like it talks about in Haggai. You get your money, even when you're working in that system, you put it in your pocket that seems like it has holes and it's flying out of that pocket. So are you going to live for that, or are you going to live for the kingdom of Yahweh? The time is almost gone to bear fruit and to change. Some have listened and are bearing much fruit. Some will never listen until it's over. When it's over, that's when they're going to plead and beg. And that's why, like I said, there's no crook that has ever been caught in before the judge that he's not sorry at that point, right? I am, what's that word? Sorry, sorry. I am sorry for what I did. Nope. And even if there are crocodile tears at that point, it's only because that selfish person is selfish for what he lost. It's not real repentance. If you want to really show Yahweh your appreciation for what he's done in your life, then start serving him now. Don't let one more day go by serving yourself in commercial Babylon. Like I said, some are never going to listen. It's the Laodicean era, unfortunately, and will be turned away at Yeshua's return, like he said. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 1 through 6, and then I'll drop down to verse 11. He says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for you yourself know accurately that the day of Yahweh comes as a thief in the night, right? A thief in the night. The people won't know it, but the ones that are watching will know it. Because that's what happened. You know, that's where that thief in the night comes from. It was where the high priest and the priest in the temple during the holy days would be in there. And literally, he wouldn't even wear shoes because the cold floor would keep him up. But if he fell asleep, the other priest would come in. You know, the high priest then would come in and burn his garment that he wouldn't have a garment. Right? So this is the point. If you're awake, the thief in the night doesn't apply to you. If you're falling asleep, it does. So you yourselves know accurately that the day of Yahweh comes as a thief in the night to the world, not to Yahweh's people. For when they say peace and safety, right? Isn't Trump, isn't that what he's been saying since he got in office? Isn't he saying he's making peace? And God, he should get the Nobel Peace Prize, right? He stopped 10 wars, he says. You know, although he's probably started 20 of them, you know, but that's what he's saying. Peace and safety. He has that peace, that new peace organization that he built up that supposedly is supposed to be, you know, solving all the problems in Gaza. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them like the travail to the woman with child, and not at all shall they escape. And I really thought, you know, that when this false peace comes, it would be deceptive to most people. But wow, this isn't even deceptive. How can anybody even believe it? But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then we should not sleep as the rest also do, but we should watch and be sober. Watch. We should be watching, right? We should be watching, like we said. We're not sleeping as the world is sleeping, but we're watching. Drop down to verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another as you indeed do. And we beseech you, my brethren, that you respect those who labor among you and you who admonish you in our master and instruct you. Even esteem them very highly in love and be at peace with them because of their work's sake. And we beseech you, my brethren, that you correct those that offend and encourage those who lack courage and bear the burdens of the weak and be patient toward all men. So our job as watchmen isn't only just to the world, but it's to each other. And praise Yahweh for this this mentoring program that Yahweh inspired that we're getting started here, because all of us can be part of it. And part of mentoring is simply encouragement. That's a big part of it, you know, to encourage each other for the times that we're living in. We have to encourage and each other to do more with our calling, because, like I said, the judgment is coming. Jacob chapter 5. And these rich men of the earth, these Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates, you know, and all of these guys with the money and these guys that are running things, they think they're so smart and they think they're going to enslave the world. And look what Yahweh says is going to happen to them. Jacob chapter 5. Starting in verse 1. Come now, rich ones, weep, howl over your miseries that shall be upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and the rust of them will be a testimony against you. And it will eat your flesh. The treasures that you have heaped together shall be as fire to you for the latter days. Right? So it's talking about the days we're living in now. Behold, the wages of the workmen who have reaped your fields cry out, right? As these guys are making billions and billions of dollars, and the people that are working for them are making nothing. They're making virtually nothing. You know, the Elon Musks of the world and these big corporate heads, they're making billions and they're paying people virtually nothing. The wages of the workmen who have reaped your fields cry out, being kept back from you, and the cries of the ones who have reaped have entered into the ears of Yahweh of Zavaoth. Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh, the leader of the army that's coming to fight. Most of our congregation is in third world. And what do our brethren make? They're not making a lot of money. $1 a day, $5 a day if they're lucky. But they're not making hundreds of dollars a day and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. But the people with these corporations, you know, like I said, the Klaus Schwabs of the world and the Elon Musk and the Bill Gates, they're doing this, and Yahweh saying he's coming for them. You lived luxuriously on the earth and lived for self-pleasure. You nourished your bodies for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous, and yet he does not resist you. Therefore, brothers, be patient until the coming of Yahweh. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it may receive the early and the latter rain. And here we are in the latter rain now. It's coming. It's here, actually. You be patient, set your hearts firmly, because the coming of our Master has drawn near. Yom Torah. The coming of our Master has drawn near, and here we are. We have to, you know, the global elite are going to be taken care of, and Yahweh is going to take care of his people. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Prophecy from the book of Isaiah about Yeshua returning. And he says, awake, awake, put on your strength, Zion. Put on your beautiful robes, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For never again shall uncircumcised and unclean ones come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up, sit, Jerusalem. Free yourself from your neckbands, O captive daughter of Zion. Right? The ones who are keeping Israel captive and even the Israelites in diaspora. For so says Yahweh, you were sold for nothing and you will not be redeemed with silver. For so says Adonai Yahweh, my people went down to Egypt at first and reside there, and without cause Assyria oppressed them. So then, what is to me here, declares Yahweh? For my people are taking for nothing those ruling how, declares Yahweh, and my name is continually despised every day, right? The name of Yahweh isn't even used there in Israel. But the people there, these global elites, they're using the nation of Israel for their purposes in these end times. Israel is not a free nation. They are being used. They are being manipulated by these global leaders. And part of them are, you know, in Israel. Part of them are the leaders in the Israel government. So my people shall know my name thus in that day. For I am he speaking, behold me. Behold me. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him proclaiming good news, right? Our work. Making peace heard, bearing tidings of good, making heard salvation, making heard Yeshua, saying to Zion, your Elohim reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift the voice together, they sing aloud, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh brings back Zion. Break out, sing together, waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh comforts his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh has bared his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see Aleph Tav Yeshua from our Elohim. Turn, turn, go out from there. Touch not the unclean. Go out from her midst. Purify yourself, bearers of the vessel of Yahweh. So the watchman is to proclaim this message, right? I proclaimed it in Israel for 25 years, you know, of Yeshua's return there. I've met with many rabbis there, Knesset people, all kinds of people, you know, and bringing the good news of the kingdom of Yahweh, which is there. And we have to purify ourselves. We have to come out of commercial Babylon. It's time. It's time we got to come out from there and stop playing games, you know. It's time we have to make those changes in our life so that we can qualify for the job that Yahweh is giving us. The watchmen are to bring the good news, the message throughout all the earth, proclaiming Yeshua's return and the kingdom to come. And like it says, Matthew 24:14, when this good news is preached to all the world, then the kingdom will come. So the watchmen that Yahweh have placed have a hard job. There's many Laodiceans will reject the message from Yahweh that has been given to the watchmen. The most important job of the watchman is to prepare the bride of Messiah for the wedding ceremony and for their place in the eternal kingdom. So that's the main job that has to be done. And let's go to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon chapter 3. It says, by night on my bed I sought him, Aleph Tav, whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will rise now and go about in the city, in the streets, in the broad places. I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I did not find him. So this is the bride of Messiah, you know, seeking Yeshua in the end, wondering when he's coming back. And look at who is helping the bride. The one watching, going about in the city, found me. I said, have you seen him whom my soul loves? So the watchman is out there in the end times, preparing the bride, helping her to get every spot and wrinkle. That's why we have elders, that's why we have deacons, and that's why Yahweh has structured congregations, you know, so we could nurture his remnant and his bride all the time. So, I want to blow the trumpet one more time. Haxamea once again. So I'm here to blow the warning to Yahweh's people. It is time to wake up. Like I said, we've turned the corner. We're in a new time. We're getting closer to that time each Yom Teruah passes. But this is a big one this year because we got a big job in this next year coming. This coming year looks more like there will be more wars that are coming in the world. And we don't want to allow the oil, the Holy Spirit, to run out. But we want to be growing in the nine fruits of the Spirit each day, each year, as the time for Yom Teruah and Yeshua's return to come. So right now, you know, as Iran is hitting American assets, they're bombing the bases that are over there, they're bombing the military, and because the election is coming up, America is basically doing very little. But look out after that election is over. Most likely the Republicans are going to get swamped and lose. But that might not be such a good thing as a lot of people think, because once these radical Democrats get in there, and if they get a supermajority, look out, then the whole New World Order plan will come faster. They'll be bringing all these charges against Trump. And probably there will be more war than what we're seeing now. So we want to be growing in the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, as we see these things before us each year as Yom Teruah comes. And remember, he comes at the last trump. So for the hope of America and the world, let's hope that this is the last trump, that we're at least seeing in office, that there'll be no more Trumps as president, because Yeshua is coming at the last trump. Let's hope it's Trump that we're seeing, and we know also it's the trumpet call at the last trump that he's returning. So I pray you have a blessed Yom Teruah and a blessed Holy Day season. Yahweh willing, we'll be doing almost live services on the holy days that are coming for Sukkot. Looking forward to it. For a great time there with all of Yahweh's people from all over the world coming with us. And Yahweh bless. Hatzameach.